Hey, welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silver Birch Ranch in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, enjoying another day that we can sit down and have a great conversation. So we thank you for tuning in and listening to us or checking us out on our video podcast on YouTube. And we just enjoy doing this. We do it every week, but we record kind of a bunch at a time. And it, to me, it's interesting to see how many people actually enjoy it. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That kind of sounds weird.
Well, you know what, though? I think what's happened in modern culture is it used to be that there was no electronics. There was no media like there is today. So people used to sit around and talk in the evenings.
Yeah.
And there was always multi-generational talking.
Yeah.
And so conversations would be steered toward different things, towards the fun, goofy things that a child might be talking about to the more serious things that the grandpa might be talking about. But they used to be a normal part of life. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a drawing card to sit and listen to people talking.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And wishing you were a part of the conversation somehow.
Right.
And people should be. You should be involved in a local church. You should be involved with other believers. And honestly, you should be talking to people about what you're learning or thinking or questioning. And going to the Bible and trying to find answers.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good. Yeah. And it's fun just talking about the busyness of whatever happens in life, too. I know it's unpredictable, the things that we talk about on the show, but it's really just taking life and saying, well, let's talk about that. You know, if there's something going on in the world, we talk about it. If there's something we're pondering, we talk about it. I mean, half the time it's like, hey, let's talk about this. Or like, let's talk about this. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
in different stages of life, you talk about different things.
Right. Absolutely.
So your stage of life right now, you've got young boys in your home.
I do.
So the discussion revolves around like goofy things young boys might do and fun things and learning opportunities and all that kind of thing. You get people my age together, they talk about doctor's appointments. You know, I mean, so it's like, okay.
I know I don't want to throw you under the bus. I'll stop.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's a meeting I have every week with you and some other people, and I feel like I'm entering like a senior citizen.
There you go.
Yeah, you're talking about like the doctor appointment or the recent ailment and things you're feeling. It's just like, oh, okay.
Well, see, again.
That's just part of the olderness of you.
That's what you and I in life, you talk about the stage you're in. Older people talk about the stage they're in, but normally to each other.
Sure.
You know, in that sense. So one of the fun things is you need to enjoy all the stages of life, whatever they are. And they're going to be different. There's times where you're single, and I tell the single people, if you're single, really enjoy being single right now. Mm-hmm. The way that you ruin life is by thinking, oh, I'm not married.
Yeah.
No, enjoy the fact that you're single. Enjoy the fact that right now you can do whatever is on your heart. As you pray and you look for opportunities, you can go on a mission trip if you like. Now, your life is a little more complicated than that.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And not in a bad way.
No, it's just different.
Yeah. So it's really hard to say anything because people say, so it's bad if you get married. And no. But life is different. Once you get married, there's two decisions that need to be made into one. Mm-hmm. And when you're single, there's one. And I think you need to take advantage of being single. When you're married, enjoy being married and the stability that brings and the new opportunities that brings. And then you have kids and it expands even more. Mm. And then your kids start growing up, and the challenges actually change.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to embrace each series in your life. And that's why it's interesting that when you're young and you're not married, you might be talking about the day you get married. When you're married, when you have kids, when then you talk about your kids. And then in the middle, your kids are doing their own thing, and you're keeping up with them and visiting their sports events and whatever that might be.
Yep.
And eventually, you're talking about your doctor appointments. You know what I mean? And that's... That's eventually
that's right.
You know what happens.
Yeah.
But that's real life. And I guess you could get tired of any of those discussions along the way because they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. If you show interest in people, because everyone's at a different stage in life.
Right.
And that's the fun part. That's why you mix generations in your talk and you get all of it. Mm-hmm. And there's perspective that's put out there and there's just fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. We had your family over. We were playing some games, and it was just fun watching your boys play the game.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing their reactions and seeing how they played the game, and it was just a fun part of their life, I think, for us to observe it, as they were just having fun, as kids would.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they really
and they should act like kids because that's what
they
are.
That's right.
And we should accept that.
Yep.
You know, if you are looking for answers for Bible and what the Bible says, I want to recommend a website to you.
What's that website?
GotQuestions.org.
GotQuestions.org. There you go. You finished it off.
There you go.
Way back in the day, we used to do that. We used to work as a team.
GotQuestions.org.
.org.
There you go. And that's what you want to go to. If you have any question, you can go there and type it in. And I have read several of their answers, and I'm very impressed with them.
Yeah.
So
very biblically sound.
Yeah, they go into the Bible. They try and answer your questions the best they can. And really, whenever anybody's trying to answer a question, there is some perspective they're putting into it. There's their background. There's their theology and their understanding of the Bible that's put in there. But I really enjoy the way GotQuestions.org goes in and looks at the various answers that they give. And I think they're very biblical, and you'd enjoy that. So if you come up with a question and you're wondering the answer and you just want to go online and you want somewhere reliable, at least for me at this point, I would suggest that website.
Yeah, I think it's great. I've been on that several times.
Yeah. And I will, because they do the research for me.
Right.
So if you asked me a question like today, we want to talk about a little bit. When you become a believer, you put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
What does that really make you? Does it make you different than other people? What happens to you then?
Yeah. I mean, the Bible says you become a new creation.
Okay. So what is
that? Something happens. Right.
What is that? And I think when you begin to sort it out, you start with, okay, how do I become somebody who's in God's family? Mm-hmm. What is it that changes about me? Now, the Bible, we call that born again.
Correct, yeah.
So when you look at something that says again, the way that you have to understand it is by going to look at the original. So when you're born, what happens? You're born into a family.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Well, now you are in a unique situation. You have a mom and you have a dad, and you're born into a situation that nobody else is really in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was born to Richard and Joyce Wager, okay, when that happened, I was the second son that they had.
Yeah.
My brother Rick was the first son, and I was the second one. And that's a unique position. There was nobody else that would be the second son. There was nobody else that was born when I was to them. I'm in a unique position where I am the youngest son of Richard and Joyce Wager. So the rest of my life now, that's my position in life. My brother Rick is still older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's still my older brother. He's still alive. So in this world, he's my older brother.
Yeah.
I'm his younger brother. And oftentimes, I will tell you, I act like his younger brother. Because I am.
Yep.
And that means I have all kinds of rights and privileges with his tools and different things that I borrow.
Oh, of course.
And that just becomes with the right of being a younger brother.
Yep.
Now, he doesn't have the same rights as me because he's my older brother.
Touché.
Right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Yeah,
so I'm agreeing with everything
the
you're
older
saying,
brother right? has that's to right. take care of things and buy things, and I get to borrow them.
That's right.
And that's the way that goes sometimes. So that's a unique position. Now, if anyone else came to my brother and said, you know, I want the younger brother privileges, sorry, not happening.
Yeah.
Because there's a unique position that I have as the younger brother. My parents didn't have any other children, so there's just the two of us. And you can't add yourself to that family.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowed at this point. My mom and dad aren't here anymore. There's no way to do that. We're older people. It's not going to happen. So with that said, there's a similar thing that happens when you become a believer. Okay, when I understand that I'm separated from God who loves me by my sin, and I recognize that I am one who needs the forgiveness of Almighty God to be in his presence, and the sin in my life is keeping me from that,
mm-hmm.
and I realize that I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I'm sinful, and I can't really do anything about it. So God, who loves me, sent his son Jesus down to this earth to die for me and take the penalty for sin and that separates us and pay the penalty for it so I could be in God's family.
Mm-hmm.
And the John 3:16, which is a verse that many know, it just says, for God so loved the world. And I love pausing there because I think, okay, he loved the world, so what?
Mm-hmm.
That he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Right.
God loved me enough to say, Dave, I want you in my family. And I'm going to send my son to make sure you have a way, the payment to get into my family is made. And I don't want sin to separate us. So the very first step of being part of God's family is understanding what sin did to you.
Yeah.
And it separates you from God. So then I come to God and I say, okay, since sin separated me from you, God, you're the only one that can make it right, and you did through Jesus. And I accept Jesus Christ's payment for sin, his death on the cross, as my payment. Mm-hmm. So he's my substitute.
Right. Yep.
And as I do that, God says immediately I become a member of the family of God. And that's why it's called born again. There was a time where I was born again, or born physically. Mm-hmm. That was 1956. I was born physically in a hospital, Swedish Covenant Hospital in Chicago.
So you're old.
I know. I could look back at that and go, Pierce, when I was born.
Yeah.
But I can also look back on a date when I was born spiritually. That's being born again, and I'm born into God's family. Mm-hmm. And I also have a unique standing there. And I remember it. I was 7 years old. I don't remember the date exactly.
Yeah.
But I was 7 years old. I was at a youth club, and I listened to one of the, his name was Don Schoaf, and he was teaching the Bible that night. Okay. And I was listening to him. Or it could have been Chuck Schneider. I forget which one. One of the two.
One of the two.
And as I listened to the Bible being taught, I understood that I was sinful, that God loved me, that I could be in God's family by placing my trust in Jesus. And when I went home that evening, I remember telling my dad, I really want to be in God's family. We sat together, and I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. Mm-hmm. So I remember that time. So from that point on, I was born again. I was in a family. Now I'm in two families.
Yeah.
So I'm physically on the earth, I'm in the family of Richard and Joyce Wager. Spiritually now, I'm also a part of God's family, and that happened, whatever date that was, back when I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And so that means something. I have a status now,
right,
that's different. Just like I have expectations in my human family, mm-hmm, there are expectations in my spiritual family.
Yeah.
And the Bible oftentimes talks about it as kind of uses the word adoption. Mm-hmm. So adoption is something we can understand. There's somebody that doesn't have parents, and they need to be adopted. Well, I don't have a spiritual parent, and God says, I will adopt you into our family, into your spiritual family, but in order for me to adopt you, here's the cost of it. I'll make the cost. So if you were going to adopt somebody, if you and your wife were going to adopt somebody, it's up to you and your wife to come up with the money and the resources.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the child that needs to be adopted. Mm-hmm. Their only problem is they're needy.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
So when I ask somebody, what is it that qualified you to be in God's family? The answer is, I'm needy.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not that I'm good, I go to the right church, I stand up and sit down when I, that's not the answer. The answer is, I'm needy. Then God says, well, I know you are, and I've met that need, and I want you in my family. So let's say, Jason, you were a young boy one time, and you were parentless, and I would look outside my house window, and I would see you running around outside, and you'd be cutting my lawn for me, and in the winter shoveling my driveway, and every morning I would see you go, hi, Jason, and let's say you were 8 years old. And I'd say, hi, Jason, you know, right? And you would talk, and after a while, I would go to Linda, my wife, and I'd say, Jason's always in our driveway. He's cutting our grass. He's pruning our shrubs. You know, I mean, what's with this kid? Mm-hmm. And Linda said, I don't know. You better ask him why he never goes home. So I come out there, and I say, well, Jason, why don't you ever go home? And yeah, you say, I don't have one. And I look at you, what do you mean you don't have one? No, my parents are dead, and I live under your deck. Yeah. And I'm going, what? That's crazy.
No.
So I go back inside and go, he lives under our deck. And then we go, huh? What do you mean he lives under our deck? No parents. He has no way to, mm-hmm, he's just living under our deck. Well, go out there and tell him to come inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not our child. Yeah, but we could make him our child.
Right.
So I go outside and I say, hey, why don't you come in and stay in a bed? And here's what we have to do. We have to, You really don't have parents? No. Do you want parents? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yep.
So now Linda and I, we spend money, we go to lawyers, we do whatever we need to do. And eventually, I keep telling you, look, you don't have to cut the grass to be in my family. I mean, you don't have to do that. The only reason we would adopt you is not for grass.
Right.
It's because you don't have parents. So we're going to adopt you because you need us to adopt you, or you're not going to have any family.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend thousands of dollars, go through the process. One day you're adopted, so now you're in our family. So now Jason is a member of our family. And the very first day that you're officially our son, I tell you, go out and cut the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at me then and say, well, I didn't think I needed to cut the lawn to be in this family.
That's right. So I don't need to cut it anymore.
And I said, well, you don't. But because you're part of the family, go cut the lawn.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's the dilemma that people don't get.
Yeah.
It's like you have responsibilities in the family of God.
Right.
That you need to fulfill. Mm-hmm. So go cut the lawn. But it's not cutting the lawn that makes you part of God's family.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's the part that we miss sometimes, you know, after we enter into God's family. You know, because we have this experience where we understand, and we finally come to the point where we understand who Jesus is, and we put our trust and faith in him. And then as we grow into faith, and especially I think those that have been around Christianity a little bit longer, I think it's a little bit more noticeable if you came from a non-Christian background,
right?
You know, in terms of like a stark contrast of the way that you lived. And, you know, the right. Bible talks about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And I think for those that grew up around Christianity, it's kind of like the story you just told. It's like, well, I was already doing this stuff. Well, what do you need to change? It's like, no, you have to understand that being a Jesus follower comes with responsibilities. You know, the salvation isn't dependent on it, but it doesn't mean that there aren't expectations that we have
right
within being a Christian. I think that's what we lose sight of sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's where even the nurturing side and the growing in our faith, you know, we don't, you know, we just magically think, oh, I want to grow closer to God, but we don't do anything.
Right. And that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. No. We all know that, yep. You know, and maybe you can relate as a listener or a watcher. It's like, man, I want to be like so-and-so in the church, or I want to be like Dave. You know, he just loves God. He talks about him all the time. Well, you can be. Because what do, Dave? You're responsible as a responsible part of God's family by what? Getting to know who God is, doing the things he's called you to do, and that process draws you closer to who God is.
Right.
And you're just sharing that process and what you've learned with other people.
Right.
That's it. And we all are capable of doing that.
Right. You know, it's interesting. You have three sons, and we've said that before.
Yeah.
Do they have responsibilities at home?
They do.
They do. What are some of their responsibilities?
I mean, it depends on their age, but whether it's helping with dishes, vacuuming, mowing the lawn, you know, all
and
those
by,
sort
And
of
by
things.
The way, when they were over, we had ice cream, and each one of your boys brought their own plate to the sink and put it away. And, you know, again, that shows some responsibility.
Yeah.
There.
I know. Sometimes at home, it's like, is anything clicking? And then you go to some place like this, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It is working.
Yeah, Linda said when they left, said, you know, those boys did exactly what they should do. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that they wouldn't be welcome if they didn't do it.
Right.
But what they were was they were responsible, and they showed responsibility. Now, we would like them either way, and they could be at our house either way, and they could play our games either way.
Sounds good. They're coming over tonight.
Yeah. Well, either way, they could call us anytime and say, I want to play again, and probably come over and play, and we'd probably say,
I don't
fine.
Know if they would want that or the ice cream.
Yeah, well.
It might be alternative motives there. But anyways, because we had some ice cream before the game, so they might ask for the games, hoping for the ice cream.
But the interesting part was they were responsible. So
that's right.
But I know that when children are at home, they don't always act responsible.
Right.
So the question I have for you is, when they're irresponsible, do you kick them out of your family?
No. No, because, you know, the way that I look at it is like within the family, like that's the training ground, you know, and so that's where you try to make it a safe place for mistakes and for lessons to be learned, you know, and as parents, that's what my wife and I constantly have to remind ourselves is, you know, yes, we have expectations and things that we expect of our boys, but we also know that they're learning. And so in the learning process, we have to graciously come alongside of them in moments to encourage them or correct them in a way that helps them understand and see the big picture. Because that's part of the process too, is coming alongside of, you know, somebody who isn't quite yet there and understanding yet to understand it. You know, and that's just in our family sense, but you could apply that to our spiritual family too. And that's why it's so important to surround your people that are older than you and younger than you, because it helps you establish for yourself and your own faith the things that you're learning about God.
Right.
You know, and that's why even on the show we've talked about mentors or mentees. Why? Because that intergenerational thing, if you've been in the family longer, there's things you've learned more. You know,
right.
It's not that you're not capable of it. It's just they've done it. They've gone through the hard part, and they want to share that with you. Just like within a family at home, if you're a parent, you understand that, like, you have different expectations of a 10-year-old versus a 4-year-old.
Right.
You know, and that's, I think it's the same in the spiritual sense. Like, the expectations are still there, but you have to learn them.
Yeah.
You have to know what to do.
Now, let me ask you this. So anytime your child does not act responsibly, they're still part of your family no matter what.
Absolutely.
That's a done deal. You still love them
completely.
So it's not because they do right things that they're part of your family.
Correct.
You don't have more love for somebody when they do right and when they do, and less love when they do wrong?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That's important to understand, because some young people grow up thinking, if I don't do everything right, I'm not loved as much. The idea of love, in God's love, he doesn't love you more.
Mm-hmm.
He can't love you more. He doesn't love you less. That doesn't mean that he's going to bless what you've just done, but he loves you.
Yeah,
we get it so mixed up, because in reality, we're not in God's family because we're responsible because we do what's right.
Yeah,
we're in God's family because what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died on the cross for us. We've placed our trust in Jesus as our Savior, and that's what puts us in God's family. We're born again. So,
So
that's what gets us in God's family. Now, some people think then to keep in God's family, I need to do really good things or he'll kick me out.
Mm.
And there are people that think, well, God couldn't love me anymore because I did this.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of your children one day did something really bad, let's say they came over to our house, threw a rock through our front window or something.
Yeah.
You know, and basically I came to you and said, you know, your son, you know, threw a rock through our front window. You're not going to love him less, but you're not going to accept that behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. Yeah.
So that's the dilemma that people have. They think, I can be loved less because I get punished for something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is, in fact, they're punishing you to teach you something. They're not doing that because they love you less.
Right.
And you have to grab that. If that's how we are as human parents, and it is, then that's how God is to an even greater degree.
Right.
John 10:28-29, Jesus is saying this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is saying, you know what? You're all worried about whether you're going to get kicked out of the family or not.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if you've come to God and you've understood your sin, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you aren't in his family because of your goodness, and you don't stay in his family because of your goodness. However, if you're not acting like you should, the question is, do you know that you're in his family?
Mm, yeah.
I mean, your kids should act like Kemper kids.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Oh, yeah.
They should act like Kemper kids. They shouldn't act like my kids,
mm-hmm.
because they're not.
Right.
And we might have different ideas, or different, but when they look, and I don't know how many children through the years, this is my 57th summer coming up here, and as kids come up, sometimes I could tell who their parents are just by how they walk off the bus.
Oh, right, yeah, yep.
And I'm sitting there going, well, that kid belongs to somebody that was here 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me when I do that,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, how did I know that? The yep. walk.
Yeah. There's
a couple of girls that have come the last couple of years, and they've been here all summer. And I keep telling them, you know what? You look so much like your mother. It kills me.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call you by your mother's name.
Yeah.
You talk like them. You act like them. You walk like them. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remind me of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't remind me because you're in this family. That's what happens. When you become a believer, you start spending time with God, and your behavior begins to alter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really understand what God did for you by sending Jesus for you, you're thankful to be in his family. Mm-hmm. And if you are genuinely thankful, you act genuinely thankful.
Yeah.
But this verse in John 10:28-29 is basically saying, since I gave you, you entered my family and I gave that to you as a gift, I put you in my hand and I close my hand and no man can get you out of there. You're mine.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, and as my dad used to say, even I'm a man, I can't get out of there because no man can separate me now. No man can get me out of that hand. And then to emphasize it, Jesus says, and my Father, who's greater than all, puts his hand over both.
Yep.
So this is it now. When you become a believer, that's where you are. You're in God's family. And God says, I'm the one that brought you in the family. You're in the family. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to be miserable all your life and not listen to God, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. But you're listening to God or not listening to him doesn't have to do, it doesn't make you a believer or a not believer.
Yeah.
Your faith in Jesus Christ has done that. And I would say the same in a family. If your boys wanted to just disagree with you and just all their life make it miserable for you, they're still going to be your children. You're still going to love them. And what they did was make life miserable. Mm-hmm. So that's all they did.
Right.
And we don't need to do that. We could live the way we're intended to live. I get to live every day saying, I am a son of Almighty God. I'm in his family, the one who created the world. Every morning when I see a sunrise, I get to look at it and go, thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. That's beautiful. And he does great jobs of sunrises here at Silver Birch Ranch. It's just beautiful to see. Or go out at night and see the stars. You know, you get to see them and you go, God, wonderful.
Yeah.
See, the fun thing for me is that's my Heavenly Father who does that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't need to do it. He doesn't love the world. He loves me.
Yeah.
And he made the world so that I could be a part of something that's big and that reflects his love for me.
Yeah.
So I need to go out and look at the stars. And if you can't see them, you need to come to Silver Birch Ranch and see them in the middle of the night here with the darkness. And
yep,
see the Aurora Borealis once in a while or the Northern Lights.
I was going to say also known as the Northern Lights.
Yeah, something. But we invite you to do that. And enjoy the fact that God loves you. If you're not in his family, I'm not sure why you're not. God loves you. Mm-hmm. Put your trust in Christ today.
Right. And hopefully it's a good reminder just to the importance of that. And so if it's something you've been pondering, just like we said at the top of the show, if there's questions you have, reach out to a friend, a pastor, a mentor, or even if that's too intimidating, you know, try Got Questions, you know, because it's a great resource. And really just look for ways that you can even love your kids or love the people around you, because the reality is that we're all part of something, even if you don't feel it. You know, because sometimes you might not feel it, but that's okay. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on Younger and Older on this episode. I encourage you to either rewatch this or check out other podcasts or stay tuned for new ones. But for now, this is Jason Dave on Younger and Older. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.